Over 33,000 disclosures of domestic violence and abuse, nearly 6,000 disclosures of child abuse, deep levels of distress, fear and isolation. The latest Women's Annual Impact Report from Women's Aid makes for grim reading. We'll talk shortly to Sarah Benson. She's the Chief Executive of Women's Aid about the report, which covers the second year, 2021, of the COVID pandemic and how it exacerbated already difficult situations. But first, let's hear one story. This woman who rang Women's Aid for advice a couple of times, spoke to Morning Ireland under the condition of anonymity. This is not her voice, but these are her words and this is her story.
It started as abusive language. One evening I cooked a dinner and he says, "I'm not eating that." And he'd pick up my plate and fire it in the bin. And that could have been lasagna, shepherd's pie, something that I kind of made an effort to make. It was escalating more every day. There was something different with him, like it could have been a small thing, it could have been boiling the kettle or flushing the toilet. One night, I can remember trying to go towards the door and he shouted at me. He said, "Get up to that bedroom," he said, "or I'm going to kill you and wreck this house." So I ran upstairs. I ran upstairs and sat on my bed. I was terrified. Another night, I turned my back to walk out and he followed me out and pushed me against the wall. I physically couldn't get free, so I was screaming, telling him to stop hurting me. I got 3 good slaps into the face. He had never struck me up to that before. It was all mental abuse. I should have gone sooner, but I kept saying, "No, it's okay, it'll get better, it'll be fine, you know." And then I was thinking about where I'd go. It has traumatised me. I just want to draw a line under it and move on and try to build myself up again. I'm still building and I'll probably build myself up for the rest of my life. I just don't want other women to suffer if they feel that the situation is building up mentally. Get out. Don't wait for the physical abuse. Don't do what I did. I should have got out when it was all that verbal abuse going on. I should have gone then. I should have gone. I should have seen the signs, but I kept making silly excuses. The whole thing was traumatising. I would never like to go through it again. I wouldn't like anybody else to go through it.
And that is just one woman's story. Sarah Benson of Women's Aid, thank you for coming in this morning. You detail in this report what you've called a broad and brutal pattern of abuse. You said it was exacerbated by COVID. What is going on behind some closed doors in this country?
Good morning, Mary, and to your listeners today. Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, Women's Aid are launching our figures for 2021 last year, but the organisation's founded since 1974. And I regret to say that these patterns of behaviour, these experiences that are being disclosed to us have been the same year on year. What we do know is that having come through the pandemic, that didn't cause domestic violence, but it definitively exacerbated the situation. And when we talk about domestic violence, I think it is important to understand it as what it is, which is a pattern of behaviour. So it's not a single incident. And the woman who was sharing her story there quite courageously outlined many different things that were being done to her. So the verbal abuse, there was the physical abuse. There doesn't always have to be the physical abuse. It's that threat. Behaviour, degrading behaviour, trying to isolate somebody. We also have sexual abuse and economic abuse. All of these things compound to create a situation where one person in the relationship increasingly exerts power and coercive control over the other. And I think a really important message, I mean, that was that woman's voices and words. And so commonly we hear women saying that I should have done this.
I should have left sooner, she said. And she said something else in that as well, Sarah. Mm. She said, "But where would I go?" And that reveals another set of problems, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And I think what's really, really crucial message is to anybody out there who may be in a situation where anything that woman said resonated, is that it's not your fault. You know, you cannot control what somebody else is doing to you. Nobody deserves that behaviour. And it is part of the pattern of domestic abuse to make it increasingly harder and harder and harder for somebody to leave. So if you have no money, you know, where can you go? If you have children that tie you together. But also, I think crucially, we're talking about intimate relationships here. So it is often you have situations where women are gaslit, where there's a minimising of the abuse, where there's an excusing of it. And in there's that wish that the person who, you know, is supposed to love for you, is supposed to care for you, that they will perhaps behave that way again, that they will change. And unfortunately, that's not something that we can control.
But where will they go? Helen McEntee was in this studio a few months ago and we were talking about the availability of beds in shelters. 9 counties had no availability at all and she was promising up to 400 new beds. But what has happened since?
Well, I think that's a crucial point, is that, and something we've been emphasising, is that the systems and structures that can either enable or inhibit somebody's options when they are trying to get to a place of safety, they have been under pressure for many, many years. And again, heavily exacerbated by COVID-19, the courts, the family courts and the criminal courts, heaving under pressure. We have a shortage of judges. The facilities are not fit for purpose. Similarly then, for accommodation, refuge, as you rightly say, and our national helpline, which I might mention is 1-800-341-900. We act as a gateway to all of our colleagues who operate excellent refuge and other support services around the country, but there's not enough of them. And refuge is where somebody goes for an emergency respite. It is not a solution in itself. So what's really crucial now, as the government are very shortly about to publish the third national domestic, sexual and gender-based violence strategy, that for the very first time is trying to address explicitly actions that will cover what we need to do, which is work to prevent. So from education, from early years onwards, to create a more gender equal society, to protect victims and survivors, to prosecute where appropriate, where there's been criminal behaviour, but crucially a connected policy, interconnected policy. So housing, for example, we need our housing and homeless strategy to include explicit reference to domestic violence and the needs of survivors of domestic violence. That's not there at the moment. Our education policies need to more explicitly, you know, emphasise the relationships and sexuality education and equality. So there's so much needs to be done across all of government, and we really await with great interest the new implementation plan that will come with that strategy.
Sarah Benson, thank you very much. Sarah Benson of Women's Aid. And just to repeat the helpline that Sarah gave out there, if you have been affected by any of the issues raised, you can contact Women's Aid, the 24-hour national free phone helpline, 1-800-341-900. It's 8:30.